I have a short part of this message, and that is, this is the cost of freedom, and I'm going to look at it from a purely secular point of view, which is very hard for me. The clear meaning of this holiday today is just to remember, to pay honor to, just as the choir has so well told us. And we honor those who died in war. Men and women who put on the cloth of their country. I heard that this week, and I love that phrase, the cloth of their country, and fought in war and then died in those engagements or from wounds that came during those engagements. That's the meaning of Memorial Day, and you and I benefit every day from their actions. That's what I want to focus on for a moment. But the Constitution, or the preamble to the Declaration of Independence, says we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Those sweet-sounding words were nothing more than ink on paper. They were meaningless. They had no real strength or value until people put on a uniform of this country and stood the line and said, this is who we're going to be. And because they fought and died, those words became who we are. General George Patton is reported to have said, listen carefully, this is, don't get angry. Don't mourn those who died in defense of their nation. Rather, give thanks that you had such men. Isn't that good? We have people in our service right now who are volunteers, men and women, who put on the uniform of this country, the armed services, and go wherever they're told to go. Voluntarily. We ought to thank God every day we have people like that. Our freedom has come at a great cost. Around this land and around the world, there are these kinds of cemeteries where men who fought, like the seven that Jonica talked about, are laid to rest and honored in those hallowed grounds. They have sacrificed much to give us much today, and right now you and I are benefiting from that. The Bill of Rights was the first 10 amendments to our Constitution and were crafted because the Constitution was not going to be ratified without them. They tell us what was most important in the minds of our founders when they wrote them. The First Amendment says, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right of people to peaceably assemble. The blood of those who fought and died for our country make that a reality every day. So your right to be able to say what you choose to say, no matter if it's unpleasant, no matter if it's anti whatever government person that happens to be in office, is there because they keep that line of demarcation safe in our country by their sacrifice. We are gathered in this building today to express our faith the way we choose to express it, to worship and honor the God we choose to worship in the way we choose to worship. And the reason we can do that freely in this country is because men and women have died to keep that our freedom. We benefit from what they did when we determine what kind of job we want to have. You and I can make our own choices about where we work and where we live and where we choose to spend our lives. If you don't like all the conservatives in Texas, you can move to California. If you don't like all of the liberals in California, you can move to Montana. It does not matter because you have a freedom to live wherever you choose to live. And all of that is because those men and women have paid the ultimate price for those of us who call this country our home. When we forget the cost of our freedom, we will take those freedoms for granted. And when we take those freedoms for granted, we lose them. Hear this, please. Our right to worship, our right to speak our mind, our right to determine our lives is at risk whenever we forget what it costs to receive those freedoms. Enjoy your freedoms, but remember the cost that was brought to you by those who shed their blood to provide us with freedom.
Your country and that we have and the people supplied that, our country hasn't always done us right. Maybe some of you are thinking in here right now, you may feel like at times your country has failed you. I've been disappointed with things our country has done. But I want to remind you that there is one who has served you, who has sacrificed for you, who will never fail you. And his name is Jesus. I won't be theologically deep today. I don't even have my Bible up here with me, which some of you are immediately are angry with me about. But I promise you this. If you listen, the truth of the word is ready for you. I want you to remember what Christ has done for you. I want you to walk out today anchored securely in the reality of what the blood of Christ has purchased for you, what it's done for you. Here's a cup. I might get thirsty. So we're going to have this nice, beautiful, purified water, right? We're spoiled anymore, right? We can't drink regular water. We need purified water. That's what we want, right, in our cups to consume in our lives. Pure water. That's what we desire for. Jesus says in John 4:1, but whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. He's talking there to the woman at the well, and he says, I'm going to taste me and you become purified water. You're pure. You're an eternal spring, as kind of mentioned there. A spring of eternal life. That's pretty awesome to hear, right? I mean, that's a good thing to think about, that I've become this purified, ready, delicious to drink water to be able to share with others. It's nice. You're out there working hard yesterday on the volleyball court, I guarantee you, nice, good water, purified water would have been really nice, huh, Rick? I'm really excited about that, by the way. Just take a picture when you're looking around. A little caveat real quick. Our church is working so well together. The things that are happening as the body of Christ is moving. Our ministry teams that are functioning together. If you're a part of that, I just say thank you again. If you're not, get on board because, man, it's enjoyable to be a part of. Back to the message now. You got the purified water that he's promised us, that he says we've become, that he's placed it in here, that's delicious to drink. But I wonder if you're like me, that oftentimes this is not how you feel. That in your life, the reality or thought that you're a spring of eternal water that's pure, flowing out to be able to be involved in other people's life and to bring quench, doesn't sound very real. You see, sometimes in our lives, there become things that we add to the water that create some difficulties. I don't know how many of you may be able to relate with Louisiana hot sauce. Good old Louisiana hot sauce. Now, I want to tell you, in my eating style, I don't like Louisiana hot sauce. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure that this Louisiana hot sauce I bought when I did this once before, a long time ago, and I've never used any of it since. I don't like it on my food, but I sure seem to like it in my life. You see, I might have a bit of a temper. My children might be able to tell you a story or two when I've become angry. And not a righteous anger either. When I've just become angry. For some of us that wells up more than for others. But there are some of us that really just like to come in and to add a little bit of anger into our lives. I can tell you one of my parenting stories of embarrassment is the time I allowed for my anger playing basketball to cause me to say to my daughter, "You're worthless on the court." She's an All-American in college. And I got angry and said, "You're worthless on the court." Some of you may, like me, have times when anger comes in and fills your life and it begins to come into that pure water and it doesn't look so pure anymore. And your actions don't become so pure. It tells us, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. I don't succeed at that. Either side. I don't know about you. Some of us enjoy a little seasoning in our life. Some of you are like my wife. We're like, "Are you going to stop that?" And the salt just keeps going in. "Hey, I can see snow on your broccoli. Yeah, it's all right." Some of you are like that. You just enjoy your salt or your pepper. Glenn Cardle used to pepper his on up and put all that all over him. He was a part of that as well. But some of us in our lives, we do the same thing. We think life will be better with a little seasoning. And so we go into our purified water and we add a little bit of seasoning that we think is going to add a little something special to it. Just a little bit. Just a little. It'll dilute out. Maybe we in our lives we think, you know what? I'm just going to add, gentlemen, a little bit of pornography. I just put a little bit in there, you know, just to kind of help me just a little bit. It just makes life a little bit more enjoyable. I'm just going to add just a dab there. Just a little bit. Just seasons life a little bit. Nothing really that harmful. Doesn't come in and destroy anything. Or we say to ourselves, well, maybe we just need a little buzz. Take a little edge off. It's a hard day. It's just a little seasoning. Just a little bit. Let me salt it just some. We all have our own particular things that add a little season to our life, right? Come on, this will make life just a little bit more enjoyable. And we add it in there. We know God's told us not to, but it tastes good. Moses even told us, right? Pleasurable for a season. So we add it in. We forget that Jesus reminded us that your boasting is not good. Don't you know that a little yeast leavens the whole batch of dough? But just a little. Still looking not too bad. This is a tough one on us. Much like anger gets some of us more than others, this one affects some a whole lot more than others. But there are some who are walking around living life as a bunch of lemons, and they're bitter. Their heart just filled with bitter. You're keeping track of what everybody has done. There are some that are making mental lists of everything good and everything bad that everybody has done to you. And you're squeezing in your lemon juice. You want to make sure that you know exactly what's happening. Now listen, I want you to know, some of you have had some bad things that have happened to you. I'm not trying to deny that. But in that you say, "I'm going to hold on to those." And you are filling your purified water with bitterness. You're holding on to it. You're recounting them. You're reliving them. You're rehearsing them every day. You're reenacting them. And they're coming in. You're just holding on to the bitterness. And every day, you re-add a little bit more into your life. And our purified water becomes less and less pure every moment. Hebrews 12:5 says, "See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled." Yeah, many times we think that's just no big deal, it's nothing. "And many be defiled from a root of bitterness." And we're seasoning our pure springs of eternal life water with stuff that doesn't make it taste so good. But we keep at it. Oh, we want some more. Now this one's just about empty, probably because I get myself into a lot of this one. We keep adding things, going through, flip too fast. We're saying, hey, you know what? We need a little bit of so this one. What we're dealing with here is we kind of get into some sticky situations. I experienced that when Davin, my younger son, was younger. I mean, my son is younger. He was eating at this restaurant. And I just remember this. My parents were too. They're there. And he was like under two. I can't remember exactly how old, but he was young. He's in his high chair. And he's eating at this restaurant. And I can't remember if we're eating pancakes at the moment. I think we were, which he loved, but it may have been some type of pudding that he had. I don't remember. But he's eating, and he's getting it all over himself as he's eating. And there are these two girls, two teenage girls, I think, I'm not for sure, the younger ladies who are watching him, and he's flirting with these girls. He's got this chocolate or this mess all over his face. It's just gooed all over me, as sticky as can be. And he's kind of flirting with these girls over there. They're just smiling and laughing. And we're watching that. He's just going out. He's just feeling more mess. Now, I promise you, young men, if you stuff your face with food and put it all over you and try to flirt with the girls, it will not work. You better be, too, if you want to get away with that. But a lot of us come in our lives and we get ourselves into sticky situations. And we put it in our spirit waters of and sticky situations. You know, flirting is one of those things that can be that sticky situation. There's a lot of people that for the thrill begin to flirt with someone not their spouse. And then the next thing they know, somebody is expecting something different than what they thought. And they find themselves in this sticky situation of what to do. Maybe your sticky situation is you fudge on your taxes. But Uncle Sam finds out. That'd be a sticky situation. Uncle Sam does a great job of protecting us, but he wants his money. Maybe we begin to lie to those close to us. And every time we begin to have to try to remember what we've said, how we've said it, who we've said it to, and what it means. And it's getting harder and harder to keep up with everything that we've communicated. And it just gets sticky. We get in messes trying to keep it all arranged and organized, and it's hard. I've been in them. Have you? You know what really is funny? Sometimes our best way that we come up with to get out of sticky situations, more stick. We don't fail to realize that, oops, that's what caused it in the first place. And we just keep adding in more. And it just gets stickier. And just like chocolate all over the face and sticky all over doesn't look good on anyone not two and under, it doesn't look good on us as believers either. It looks bad. And we've placed it into our eternal well of living water. And we're saying to people, drink up. Refreshing, isn't he? But I know what some of you are thinking. And this one breaks my heart. Because some of you are thinking, man, I just wish I was in sticky situations. I wish that's all I was dealing with. But you're not. There's darkness in your life. Yeah, you don't even know what darkness I'm experiencing. You might be right. I might not. It might surprise us. Do you know there may be ladies here who are dealing with the reality of abortion in their life? Statistically, it would be so. And you hear us passionately plea about the right to life, and your darkness consumes you. There may be individuals here who are not dealing with flirting, but you're living a double life lie of an affair. Currently, sitting here, right now, hiding it, thinking that everything is trying to manage, keeping both of them balanced, or you are dealing with the repercussions of a past affair. You say, I'll show you darkness. You know, it's a possibility in here that someone in our midst has struggled with their anger so bad that they beat their children. And it's darkness. We can't even begin to imagine it. We don't want to talk about it here at church. The possibility and the reality that might be our members? Sure might. Some of you may have been indulging in that little salting of pornography so long that you're full on addicted. And when you walk in here, not only is your life being consumed with it, but your thought process, your mental state being here, even in the house of God, is so corrupted about it. Your thoughts about the ladies in this church are dark. Amen. And you're hiding it. And there's darkness. And I don't even know what all else might be possible. Don't claim to. Just claim to know that we live lives that we hide from one another that are dark. That we maintain them on ourselves and we don't know, and we come in and we hear songs and we hear statements and we get excited about praising Jesus and the grace of God, and inside we say, but we're filled with darkness. And the spring of living eternal water that has been offered for us to give to others to drink, to have refreshment, no longer looks like a spring of eternal water. Anybody want to come up and drink some? It's purified water. You watched me put it in there. I put pure water in the glass. I broke the seal right in front of you so that you would know it's pure water that's being offered to you. We wonder why it is that people look around and see and aren't ready to taste the living water. Because we live life like this. And this is, quite frankly, how we see ourselves. This is what we walk into church with, bearing this with each other, saying, let's encourage one another. Let's lift up one another. Here I have this to offer to you. Here it is. This is how we vision ourselves. And some of you may be really, really scared because you think I'm going to tell you to get rid of this. I'm not. This is who we are apart from Christ. This is why he says the heart is desperately wicked. Right here. This is who we are. This is why he says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Because this is who we are. All of us. Every one of you, me, Pastor, Brandon, all of you. We came here together. This is who we are apart from Christ. But Jesus didn't say, hey, make sure you maintain your living water. He didn't say, hey, here's the deal. You're going to taste of me and then you're going to upkeep living water. That's not what was said. That's not what was done. That's not the gift that we were given. That's not what the sacrifice bought. He said, taste of me and you become living water. You see, this is who we are apart from Christ. This is how we see ourselves. But God says, that's not who you are. He says, I am the living water. And when I come into your life, this is pure water too, by the way. When I come in, I take over. There's no way that you can stay who you are. I make it clean. I wash it away. My goodness is too great. I'm too pure. I'm too holy. I'm too righteous. And he says, hey, take it and drink up. Gulp deeply, experience it fully, and take it to others. And I'm putting Rick on the spot. And share with them. Because now we have something to offer. Not because of, good, yeah? Pure as that water? I didn't even get tap. I got water, so they have it. He says, here it is. This is what you are. We are not this. That's who we were. It's not who we are. It's not what Christ has done. On the last and greatest day of the festival, Jesus stood, said in a loud voice, let everyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture had said, rivers of living water will flow within them. Do you hear that? Will flow within them. You don't get a choice. The water is flowing within you. It will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not been given since Jesus had not yet been glorified. He's going to give you the Spirit and it flows within you and it makes you pure. It washes it away. You may try to fill it back up, but he's continually washing it away. Once you were alienated from God, were enemies in your minds because of your evil behavior, but now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through the death, through his blood, to present you holy in his sight, without blemish, and free from accusation. I don't care if you were one of those dark sins that we want to try to pretend don't happen in our church. God still says, I make you free from accusation. I've taken that darkness away. I'm not just good for a little salt. I'm not just okay for a little bit of Louisiana sauce. I'm okay for darkness. I can handle it all. I can wash it away. I can make you more. And that's why it says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. It's what his sacrifice has done for you. And we need to start remembering who we are. This is it. We are the living water. Christ is swelled inside of us. If you have tasted his work on the cross of Calvary, this is who you are. If you have not, that is who you are. Choice is yours. Which do you want to be? Now I know there will still be some who will think to themselves, yeah, I know you're listening to all this stuff, but you don't know how bad I am. I want to give you this reassurance. There is always more water. Jesus is more than we can possibly understand. Each one of us are carrying this around with us in both fists, and he's just dumping into us. He's greater, bigger, stronger, more than you can possibly understand. If you don't know that, read Colossians. Just read through it this week. Just let it absorb over you, where he says he's preeminent, he's created, he's sustained, he is the one, he is almighty, he's lifted up, he's the image of God. Jesus, 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 Jesus. There's always more water. There is enough for you. Are you experiencing it? Are you living it? Have you tasted it? And do you remember who you are? Bow your head and close your eyes with me. Ted's going to come up and play for just a minute. I'm going to sing a song and I'm going to give you the opportunity. I'm going to give you the opportunity to do a couple things. If you don't know what it's like to be washed clean by the blood of Jesus, today's your day. Now is your time. I don't care what darkness you hold inside of you. He will wash you clean. Today's the day. And I'm going to challenge you, if you have tasted that, to remember what he's done for you. Maybe you need to say a prayer of thanksgiving. Maybe it's a prayer of repentance. Maybe you've forgotten that he's washed you clean and you no longer are bound to, sin no longer holds on to you, and you are not bound by it, and you can live pure. You don't have to put it in your cup anymore, and you've forgotten it, and there needs to be a repentance. Whatever it might be, today, right now, is an opportunity for you to come forward and pray before your Lord and Savior. As Rick leads us in a song,